with information on the latest developments in assistive technology and initiatives, from the studios of 2RPH in Sydney, RPH Australia brings you AbleQuest. I'm Barbara Sullivan. With Australians living longer, the number of people needing aged care facilities is growing. The process of finding and securing a spot in one is a very complicated and expensive process. And the already complex aged care industry is now even more complicated with changing legislation and regulation. To help demystify and guide us through this maze, Marnie Roper spoke to Rodney Horan, Managing Director of Joseph Palmer & Sons, who, among other things, are specialist consultants in this area.
Hello, Rod. You're with Joseph Palmer & Sons, and this is a very long-established company, I think 1872, I read. Can you give us a brief overview of what the company does?
I certainly can. On the 12th of April, 1872, a modest advertisement appeared in the Sydney Morning Herald announcing that Joseph Palmer, then aged 31, had opened his premises for business as a stockbroker. And the business has been going ever since, about 140 years, and is still managed today by a fourth-generation member of the Palmer family, Malcolm Palmer. So traditionally, the firm started out as stockbrokers and over the years have transitioned into investment managers. And that's our core business, run both in Sydney and in Melbourne. Now, 4 years ago, I personally went through a very overwhelming and stressful experience caring for my mother and ultimately assisting her transition from home into aged care. So as a result of that quite overwhelming and complex experience, we developed an expertise in the aged care advisory space. And specifically what we do in this space is there's many facets of aged care. There are companies that help you select the appropriate accommodation or might help you fit out your home appropriately as you age and find certain functions more difficult. Our service, being licensed financial advisors, assists families in getting the best financial outcome. My experience, beyond any shadow of a doubt, convinced me that there must be tens of thousands of families every year overpaying unnecessarily to have a loved one transitioned into aged care and then continuing to overpay unnecessarily on a monthly basis when they receive their very large and complex monthly invoices.
With people living longer and this sector of the aged care growing, this will then be much more of a service needed.
Look, the number of people in permanent aged care in Australia is expected to triple in the next 35 years, from 225,000 today to about 700,000 in 2050. So it is, with an ageing population, a very large looming area, but with it comes enormous costs and extraordinary complexity. When I was going through the process, I was overwhelmed by the costs, by the terminology, and as I say to similar adult children who come in to see us on a daily basis, don't be too hard on yourself because you don't know what your lot in life is going to be. Often the case is it happens with some sort of trigger event. Mum or dad at a certain age falls and bang, it's thrust upon you.
And then, of course, you've got the changing regulations and legislation.
Well, that's absolutely evolving all the time in terms of government funding and pulling back of funds, etc. And yes, we've been through a major transformation regulation from July 1st, 2014. It's changed in relation to what is retained by what was called a bond when it's paid over. It's now called the RAD, new terminology. The distinction between high and low care has changed, and this government fee has now changed.
So what are the basic parameters that need to be understood when looking at aged care?
There's first of all the type of accommodation that is suitable for the loved one you're trying to look for a home for. And then the large outlay is the particular RAD or bond in the old terminology that can be asked by a facility to secure the bed, the room. It is fully refundable, but it's a very large amount of money to come up with. It can vary from a very small amount, $50,000, $100,000, right up to $1.5-2 million. And then once that has gotten through that particular large cost, then there is a layer of monthly costs. Some are set under the Health and Ageing Act in legislation, and others are specifically charged according to the facility. The one basic monthly fee that is set under the Act is a daily care fee, which is about $48.50 and changes, and it's based on being at 85% of the daily full pension rate, and that's charged out on a monthly basis by so many days in the month. And then there could be three other line items. There could be an extra services fee, which is can be labelled by all sorts of forms. It could be called a club services fee or any other fancy name that may be attributed to it, and that could be up to $120 a day. Then there could be a interest payable if one was deciding to pay off their bond via a daily interest charge rather than the full amount, paying the full RAD, and that's set at 6.28% currently under the legislation. And then the one that seems to faze most people is this Commonwealth means-tested fee, which is a very complex fee and difficult to complete the form yourself. And that form is the one that most people come into our office waving and saying, hey, what is this? I need help. This is just so overwhelming.
Is this the Centrelink 30 pages, 144 questions?
Yeah, 34 pages long.
Well, that would be very daunting for most people.
Enormously daunting. I certainly found it daunting, and I've got a legal background, and we've had all sorts of professionals in our office, and everyone comes in as overwhelmed and as confused as I was. So that form can ultimately lead to a fee of $25,000 being paid. And according to certain matrix, it can either be charged out at, say, $70 a day by 365 days a year, equates to $25,000 a year. It does cap and stop when $62,000 has been reached. But just to summarise, you could have a large bond to pay, and then you could get a monthly invoice that has $48.25, the daily care fee, by, say, $31. You could have this extra service fee by, say, $120. You could have an interest payment, and you could have this Commonwealth fee of anything from $75 a day up to about $280 a day. You could have an invoice on a monthly basis of around $8,000 to $10,000 a month to pay for your elderly mother or father. In some cases, double it if you've got both parents in.
Surely this could be made a simpler process.
You would think so, but with legislative reform, it's actually become more complex than it should be.
So finding a suitable aged care facility isn't the biggest problem?
No, that's probably the easiest part of the exercise. I mean, usually when it comes down to it, it's based on locality. There is usually a facility nearby someone. We certainly wouldn't dare make the choice of selection of facility because it's such a personal one for people. We guide them, we can refer them on.
Oh, you do?
Certainly, it's part of the service. And we say, where are you? Where would you like mum or dad to be?
There's four. Because, you know, how do people start? They look at the yellow pages or hit Google, or what do they do?
It's a good question where you don't know where to start. Look, you've touched on an incredibly important topic. After I'd spent this day and I'd asked a few people, I'd asked the social work department at the hospital for some locations to look at in my area, I then turned to Google and I searched for an aged care advisor. Nothing came up in the search. What did come up was financial planners' names, but when you rang them, it was fairly obvious very quickly that they wanted to sell you a product, life cover, insurance bond, death cover. I wasn't seeking to buy a product. I was seeking professional advice, like going to your lawyer or accountant, happy to pay an hourly rate for professional assistance through the process. I couldn't find anyone. Asked colleagues and friends and members of my community, etc. I was given a name of a 72-year-old gentleman, since retired. And what I then experienced when he came into my office and we made a phone call to a particular facility that we'd selected was an extraordinary light bulb moment, because we phoned through to this particular facility and within about 5 minutes, this advisor saved our family $250,000. If I'd attempted to bungle my way through this maze on my own, it would have cost our family $250,000 more to transition my mother into aged care. From my legal training, certainly one of the early adages that you're told as a young article clerk is that anyone who acts for themselves has a fool for a client. I couldn't believe what I was hearing, so I interrupted the two talking to each other. I spoke to the facility manager. I said, look, I've been talking to you for the last couple of weeks, attempting to understand what I believe were things I should understand, and yet when this advisor has asked you to do what he's asked you to do, which brought the price of the transition down by $250,000, you understood what he was asking you to do, but you never told me what could be done. She said, oh no, sorry, Rodney, we're not allowed to give financial advice. So the important point I'm making here is aged care facilities don't want to get into the area of giving financial advice. Well, nor can they, even if they'd like to, because you need to be a licensed financial advisor in this country. So they're not financially licensed advisors. their aged care facility providers. So that was an extraordinary turning point for myself, and I wanted to share my experience with others. So I walked into my partners and said I'd like Joseph Palmer & Sons to go into the aged care advisory sector today. And we sent out an email to our client base that night, and we've been very busy ever since.
I can imagine. Now, you touched on the distinction between low and high care. Could you just explain that?
That's very important. That distinction no longer exists. It was abolished in the reforms that came into effect and were implemented from July 1st, 2014. So what you need to do as a point of entry for any aged care facility is you need to have an ACAS assessment. That's an Australian Commonwealth Aged Care Assessment. And that's instituted by the hospital or by your local GP. And that just determines the level of care you might need, but not as clear-cut distinction as low or high care. It might determine you need some short-term care called respite or you need permanent care, but it doesn't drill down to low or high. But having said that, it is a very important point. The one thing you wouldn't want to do to anyone elderly is want to move them more than once. So you'd certainly, in your travels, looking to transition mum or dad into an aged care facility, you'd want to know they have various levels in that facility so that if their health deteriorated from the condition that they entered in, that the facility could cope for all levels of health. It is virtually what low and high care was distinguished as, but it's not a distinguishing feature now.
Now, one thing I'm sure that a lot of people are concerned about is that for people going into aged care, the family home is most probably their main asset. Would they have to sell this to fund the RAD?
Well, look, that probably is the most important question of them all, one of the most important. There's quite a few, but that one is certainly what we spend a great deal of time on in the service we provide. As I said, at Joseph Palmer, we assist families in getting the best financial outcome. Part of that modelling is to determine whether the family home, if possible, should be retained. If it can't be retained and it's the only asset and it is decided that the best way of funding entry into aged care is to dispose of the family home, then that'll drop out of the modelling. But if there's a family that may have another asset, we'll look at what is the best outcome, because the family home is only accessible for the Commonwealth means tested fee up to about $157,000 in value. It's a different test, mind you, when we're applying for Social Security, which we look at the same time when it comes to pension entitlements. So many of the issues have a different outcome depending on what you're modelling for. There are many circumstances where if the family home can be retained, it can even be rented out, because then again, in our situation, you don't necessarily want to pull the world from under your loved one's feet and take their total security blanket away on day one. But it is certainly a key part of financial modelling to see whether it can be retained or not. Many people could make a knee-jerk reaction and dispose of the family home too quickly where they may be able to retain it. So there really are many important aspects worth modelling to get the best financial outcome, and that certainly the family home is one of them.
Thank you, Rod Horan. And if anyone would like more information, the website is www.jpalmer.com.au.
You have just been listening to AbleQuest, a program that looks at developments in assistive technology and initiatives. From Barbara Sullivan and Marnie Roper, thank you for listening, and goodbye till next programme.